novelists. Did you finish NaNoWriMo? Would you like to know what to do next with that pile of words you worked so hard to create? The coaches at NaNoWhat can help. Head to nanonowwhat.com to find free resources put together by a group of Author Accelerator certified book coaches to help you finish your draft or tackle a revision. And you can also check out their coaching options. You know we are huge fans of getting outside help with our drafts in all their various versions here at Hashtag AmWriting. It is very hard to know what you have or what to do next with something you have worked so hard to make. The fantastic coaches at nanonowwhat.com can help you go from nano success to a draft that's actually ready to pitch or publish. Possibilities range from a single editorial letter to weekly or monthly coaching to get you through to where you want to be. And trust us when we tell you that the right help is a great investment in a writing career, and it also can help you find the joy in moving forward instead of spinning your wheels. Learn more at nanonowwhat.com and check the hashtag AmWriting podcast feed for a special December 2022 episode on what to do when you finish that first draft.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three.
Okay.
I'm KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, nonfiction. We're the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done.
And I'm Jess Leahy. I am the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation. And if you're interested, you can find my work at The New York Times, The Atlantic, and The Washington Post.
I'm Serena Bowen. I'm the author of many romance novels, and you can find every book I've ever written wherever ebooks are sold, and some paperbacks too.
And I'm KJ Dell'Antonia. I am the author of the novels The Chicken Sisters and In Her Boots, forthcoming novel Playing the Witch Card, the nonfiction book How to Be a Happier Parent, as well as Reading with Babies, Toddlers, and Twos, which I've been thinking about lately for various reasons. And I'm the former editor and lead writer of the Motherlode blog at the New York Times, which is also something I've been thinking about lately. So I guess I'm having a moment of thinking about my past, which is excellent because that's kind of what we're going to do today, but only the recent past. This is our 2022 rear view mirror. This rhymes. 2022. A year in review. We should have come up with a little chant. I'm sorry.
I looked up a recipe yesterday, and I found out, you know, everything about the woman's like second year of life and how kindergarten was for her, because that's what you have to do with recipes now. You know, those like blogger recipes.
So that you'll see a zillion ads before you get to the actual recipe.
So yeah. We're not going that far back. We're not going to talk about kindergarten or, you know, our toddlerhood. We will be talking about
the past year. Well, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. Yeah.
The past year was really interesting, actually. I'm looking forward to doing this review. I have to say, I love these year-end reviews. I love all this sort of the wrap-up, the looking back, and the looking forward. It makes me very happy.
It's really good to go back and look at what my goals are and then figure out why I did not. Why? That sounds bad, but it's a genuine question. Like, why did I not do these things? And in most cases, it's because I did something else or changed my mind. And that's just interesting. So, all right, Jess.
I'm going first?
Yeah, you launch us, because I'm looking at my book and I'll just own it. I can't even remember what my word of the year was.
Well, here's what I do. With each new book that Serena gets for us, our calendar/journal. And by the way, if you missed that, there's a bonus episode about holiday gifts for writers. If you go to our Substack and look that up, and the journal that we love happens to be in there. But every single year when I start the new one, sometimes I either copy the previous year's goals out into my new one, so I always have it in front of me. But this year, I cut it out of my old one. I was going crazy, and we were away at a meeting, and so I glued it into my new one. So I have my goals from 2021 and 2022, and what's really interesting about both of them is that my priorities just changed. I, for both of those years, my process was, number one, proposal to Lori by, and there was a date. The second one for 2022 is proposal to Lori by, and I believe it's for the same book. And that's a book that, while I still think the idea is viable, Lori thinks the idea is viable, it's just in a holding pattern. And every once in a while, I go back and tinker with the proposal because I still think it's a lovely idea. It's just that my priorities have shifted. And I love that about this looking back because it allows me to give myself some space to say that when our priorities shift because of our emotions or because of what's on our plates, it's a valid thing, I think. I've been having a great time not handing that proposal in, but doing what I wanted to do with these newfound priorities, which is really work hard on getting the addiction inoculation information out there. And I've been doing that through my daily videos. I have goals in 2021 and 2022 included when, you know, dates ideally I would love to sell it by and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, none of that happened. But I did some other fun things. Remember, if you guys remember back to my goals, are we doing one by one or are we doing all of them?
You mean your goals one by one or each?
Yeah.
But however you want to do it.
Okay.
You well, do you.
Okay.
And I mean that in the good way, not the okay.
Just so number one,
if you really want to.
Number one, did not get that proposal off. Totally cool with that. Number two, I, if you recall, made space for myself to do home repairs that had never been done. And as you are well aware, I did all of those that I really, really, really wanted to get done. And I'm really proud of myself for that. Learned a ton of new skills. And then after that was weekly set aside time for my kid who was going off to college this past fall. And boy, am I glad I prioritized that. That was really important. And in fact, we were just talking about yesterday on a drive how, you know, that Laura Vanderkam, people are worth your time. Is that, I can't remember, KJ, what's the saying?
People are a good use of time.
Okay. It has never been more true than where that time spent with the kid that was headed off and out of my house is concerned. So I'm really happy with where I am, even given that I didn't do what I thought at the time was the most important thing.
I think, and we won't know the answer to this until the next episode, but I'll be very excited to hear whether you're going to stick that on the 2023 goals list. You'll have to give
that
some thought.
I've been working on my list. I think it's going to be interesting. It's very different for 2023. And just really, really quickly, my word is related to that, which is why I want to stick it in here. My word was evaluate, which has to do with, and I went into the whole Latin roots thing, but really has to do with figuring out what has value to me and not necessarily value to book sales, value to whatever, but what has value to me with my time. And evaluate was a really good word for me last year.
And like again, word of the year maybe should have been reevaluate.
Well, and again, because this was a pivotal year. I mean, my last kid went off to college, and this year is going to look a little different from last year, but evaluate was the perfect year, the perfect word at the perfect time for me. And yeah, I'm really happy.
Cool. Well, I didn't do that many things that were on my list. I did the one big one for me, which was, it was finish and pitch the book that I have just sold and actually revised and completely finished and is now going into copy editing.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, and I feel great about it. And I didn't achieve the next goals on the list of writing, but I feel like in part that was because that book moved faster than I thought. So it wasn't just finish and pitch and in the end sell, but also do a pretty hefty revision. So I think there I get a bit of a pass just because I didn't realize how much work the revision of that was going to be. I also think I ended up writing a stronger better. It's a better book. It's really good, but it took a long time. So the fact that I did not do any short stories or anything is okay.
May I ask a question that I might assume that our listeners might have? So what do you mean when you say it went faster? And because this is now your third book and you have a fairly good, and you've always had a pretty good sense of what your real time looks like, instead of like saying, oh, this will go quick, no big deal, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's not that I went faster. I think I didn't fully consider in January, and the goal all along was to sell this, because it's a witch book, the goal all along was to sell it for fall or late summer of next year. And I didn't properly think through what the timeline of that would look like. So finish and pitch, great, sell it. And we sold it right about exactly the time that I thought that we would. But I think in my brain, I didn't realize that it would then be revisions. And I think the copy edits are 99% sure to be January. But yeah, I didn't realize. So this was basically a full year all on that book. I did I think I wrote one essay.
Because you hardly ever hear in publishing, this went faster than I thought it would.
Yeah. Well, I think this is also a different editor than I've worked with before. And when this editor says, on Wednesday, I will have you your edits. You know what happens on Wednesday? You get your edits. So that was part of it, too. I mean, that was I was not familiar with how that would play out. So I think I overshot on doing other things. But I also, as I look at, like, I also note that I haven't read as many books as I read last year. I haven't done as many of the other things as I wanted to go. I honestly, and this is like really, this has been said and been done, but I think when I go back and look at my iPhone's evaluation of how much time I spent scrolling Instagram, it's going to have been worse this year than ever before. I think I just sort of lost sight of the ball in a couple of ways. So I did that huge thing. And maybe I had to. Like, maybe to do that huge thing, I didn't have the energy to do the other stuff. Done a lot of fun stuff with the podcast. People who are really following along know that the show notes are getting way more fun, that you can chat, that you can comment and respond. There's a lot of fun. But that's been pretty recent. And at the beginning of the year, I had a goal to finish my Author Accelerator Coach certification. I did that. So check.
Yay.
And that was a challenge. But I also had some goals around actually coaching people. And in the end, I decided not to. So if you want me for a coach, no. I decided ultimately that having learned to do that was fantastic. And I do apply it occasionally in a variety of ways. But I don't actually... That's not the best use of my time right now.
It's like law school for me.
Yeah. But I finished it. It was great. The process was super useful for me personally, and is also really helpful because definitely I periodically look at stuff for people, and it was useful for figuring that out. And some of my personal sort of health goals have all been great. And I did find my word of the year, and it was play. And I think I did that. I did a ton of traveling and studying things that I just wanted to study and that kind of thing. And I just think I didn't, my goals weren't my real goals, which is sort of interesting and something to think about for next year. That's it for me.
Sabrina.
You know, I sit here on this December afternoon looking at my goals from last year, and I pretty much knocked it out of the park.
You did!
We knew that.
But I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I am so tired. So my big goal in the top box was finish 3 books happily. And how I was going to do that was delegate more things. to my team, defend my mornings, and work offline. And I pretty much did that. I figured out how to shut out the world and stop doom scrolling and write a lot of books. I actually finished 4 books.
Well, can I stop for 1 second and put some context in there, which is these aren't, you know, it's not just that you wrote all these books. It's that you wrote a book in an entirely new genre, which is so impressive to me, because as someone who's attempting to do that right now, and it's moving at the most glacial pace that anyone's ever experienced, I'm endlessly impressed by that.
Well, thank you. I'm working so hard to revise that book right now, and it's hard. And so, and I did spend more time on it. I did a really good job this year of keeping track of what I was working on. So not only is there a nice fat sticker on the days when I hit my word count goal, but I also wrote chapter 24 under that sticker, just so, because I was curious, you know, what was my pace? What was I doing? What was I thinking about? And therefore I know for sure that out of genre book was harder and took me many more weeks than anything else. I also wrote a short story, which I've always maintained that I don't like to write short stories and I'm not good at it. And it took me a complete week, like a whole working week. And I am just okay with the result, you know, and it was a freebie for readers. It's, you know, nobody's going to shoot me over it if they agree with me that it's just all right. But yeah, not my favorite thing in the world, but it got its own tiny tree on my tracking.
Oh, that's so cute. She's showing us Serena. Serena uses evergreen trees as her graph sort of lines, and they get little branches. They're so cute as they get taller. And she has big, tall, huge ones, and one teensy, tiny little Charlie bound Christmas tree, which was the short story.
Yeah, so I'm not an artist. I don't even try, to be honest, but every kid gets out of third grade knowing how to draw an evergreen, right? Like, it's just a bunch of triangles upside down. And that's what this is. And I've just taken a page in our planner, and each little box of dots is worth 2,000 words. So if I don't update it every day, but if I look up and I realize, oh, I haven't touched the trees in a while, I'll look at the word count of the thing I'm working on, and I'll come over here and I'll find the right line and I'll fill in the trees, because it's so satisfying.
It's also, it's my favorite page of your planner. I just love it so much.
Yeah, that is super fun.
Yeah.
By the way, when you say you don't do short stories well, I would like to point to Epic and show you that that is not necessarily the case, because I thought Epic was just delightful and it was short.
You know, it is short. It is a true short story, and I am proud of that one. But I also, that's a collaboration with Elle Kennedy, and
yeah,
she and I,
true.
I remember we actually plotted that out like a year before we wrote it. And I was sitting in my car outside that indoor soccer facility that I sometimes had to drive my kids on a bumpy road to, and then shiver for an hour and a half because,
because anyway, 2020.
Yeah, no, 2019 or whatever.
Oh, okay. Because but then anyway, we know where to sit in that place. I remember that place.
Yes, and it smells like feet. So I'm sitting there shivering in my car, and she and I were going back and forth on exactly what would happen in that book, which is, of course, you know, much easier way to plot anything than just sitting around thinking about it yourself. So my top box about how to write the books I needed to write and how to not waste all my time, I did a great job. The next box says pitch a non-romance or start one. And I did it. I basically did this immediately. It's like the first thing I worked on last year in January. I wrote these pitches, and my agent decided that it was a rational thing that we could sell a suspense novel on proposal.
Which we will podcast about at some point, because we really do have to talk about that. That is so, listeners, this is so unusual that we definitely need to podcast about it.
It's actually less unusual than you would think. So that we still
good
need
to
think to podcast about it.
Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, selling novels and suspense and on proposal is in fact a thing. So
yeah. So
and we will talk about it.
She pulled this off in February. Like, it was a really quick turnaround. And so that's why I've written the whole book already, and it took me a long time. And so I clearly made that happen, but it was hard. And it really, it led to some of the things that KJ mentioned, like, she didn't read as many books this year, and I didn't either. Although I read a lot of thrillers. So one of the boxes on my, I have five boxes, and one of them is also read widely. And so, you know, I've been publishing in romance for a long time now, and specifically contemporary romance. And I almost can't read contemporary romance anymore, even when it's wonderful, because when I do, it makes the possibilities for that genre feel smaller to me, not bigger. Not because any of those books aren't doing amazing things. It's just that I start to see, you know, familiar things, and it I don't know, it just clamps down on what feels possible sometimes.
So, and that's why this year... That's not the case for the thrillers, because the thrillers are newer?
Absolutely. Well, honestly, sometimes I read a contemporary romance and it's just amazing and I want to tell everybody. Like, this rule is not hard and fast. But here's how I can tell I have a lot of romance burnout and not suspense burnout, because I read a lot of thrillers. I did not like them all that isn't actually part of it. Like, I'm a really picky suspense reader, just like I'm a picky reader of anything. But everything feels newer to me. And when I have an idea, and, you know, I read the newspaper, I think, I'm like, oh, that's a good takeoff for a suspense novel. That's a good, interesting thing for suspense. And in romance, that doesn't happen to me so much anymore. And the reason is that when you start writing something, you have all this curiosity about the questions involved and the story problems, and you have not burned through any of that curiosity. You haven't answered those story problems. You haven't solved any of those problems. So it's all new fodder. And that's how I feel about suspense. Like, I'll read a newspaper story about something that happened, a crime that was committed, or a mystery that was unsolved. And I want to sort of gallop off with this idea, like, oh, what would that be like if she, you know, heard about it from her aunt, or, you know, just my brain starts offering me story problems. And that, you know, isn't so common for me in romance anymore, because I've already explored a lot of those things that are interesting to me. So reading widely, I read nonfiction, I read thrillers, I read science fiction, I read fantasy, and I used all my library subscriptions, for example. I used Hoopla and Overdrive, and had a great time with that. So then I had some health goals that I did fine on, and I had some ideation goals that I also did a good job, like keeping my thoughts organized. When I have that great idea from the newspaper, now there's like a specific place where I need to put it. And I did well on that, but man, I'm tired. And when you change your life, there's actually like hell to pay later, because now my writing schedule for next year is pretty crowded too. So anyway.
Yeah.
And my word for last year was work in progress, meaning that the work itself was the thing that I needed to focus on. And I did that. So yeah. Yay 2022.
Every single year when Serena does her goals, I'm always really inspired. And the thing about Serena, I wanted to add that the thing that has also been working really well for me with the thriller stuff is the true crime podcast. In fact, I found a murder weapon via a story I heard on a true crime podcast. And it's really exciting to be in a situation where you're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, I could do something with that. I love that situation.
Yeah, that stuff can be so inspiring. I don't tend to listen to podcasts because they don't fit into my life. But I did read, so in October, Jezebel does this thing every year where they invite people to write in the comments a really creepy thing that happened to them at mm-hmm. any point in their life. And they do this every Halloween. And I read some of those, and they were super fun and inspiring. But I did notice one thing, which is that the creep factor in a story of this is the creepiest thing that ever happened to me, like, they don't need an ending. It's like they could have a great setup but without the payoff, because it was coming from real life and
yeah,
there were no solutions. So like the whole real life versus working it into a plot arc is one thing that you know, it slowed me down a little bit. Like, oh yeah, like in real life, there is no reason, or there's no
right. We never find out why. Right. What is outside the second story window or whatever.
Often that's what makes it super creepy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I still don't know. We always talk about like how we set these goals. And I think we have gotten so in the habit of doing this, but you know, we have throughout the years of the podcast have talked a lot about how we work hard to set goals that we can achieve. Mm-hmm. Like it's fine to have a goal, like sell the book, but it's important to make most of your goals more focused on things you can do, which is why my goals are like finish and pitch, write and pitch, finish, you know, because I can control whether I finish or not. I can't control whether or not anyone buys it. But so yay, good at that, right? Got mm-hmm. that. But as I look at as I look at my goals versus Serena's goals, I think hers were more like broad, like read more widely in the genre. And, you know, change, protect mornings. And she didn't get so granular about how. And I think that some of why I didn't achieve the things that are on this list is that they were too granular. And I ultimately, you know, like the coaching, I didn't want to do it. So, you know, a better goal might have been finish thing, decide what to do with it. You know, and maybe some better goals around writing would have been, I don't know. I'm not upset about those. I just, the time just was not there. But I think this time I'm going to focus more on like figuring out what I really want to do instead of trying to list things that I can check out. Mm-hmm.
I would love to bring up the fact that if for anyone who's been listening for a couple months, NaNoWriMo was something that I had decided to do this year. And I had all sorts of optimism around it, even given the fact that I was traveling a ton in November, and it just didn't happen. And so what I've decided to do is actually just pick a different month, because November was a total disaster for me. January is looking pretty darn good. So I am thinking that I will be doing, instead of NaNoWriMo in November, I will be doing it in January. So, you know, it's always good.
I have an idea for you.
What's that?
Which would be kind of funny. But so Rachel Herron, who has a podcast not dissimilar to ours that y'all should definitely know. We've mentioned it a lot. How do you write? She does a class that I clicked on today called 90 Days to Done. It's all about writing your way through a draft of a novel in 90 days.
Nice.
And I totally clicked on it because I was like, I would like to write my way through a draft of my novel in 90 days. I don't know. It might be fun. Just throwing it out there. Ultimately, yeah. I was like, yeah, that would just be too weird. So I didn't do it. But someday she's going to write a book called 90 Days to Done, yeah. And then I'll fake my way through that. I will put a link to that in the show notes, but I won't lie to y'all. It's probably full by now.
What was really upsetting to me was that first sort of in the very beginning of November, and I it was actually on the first day of November, and I was sitting in the lobby of a hotel in Abu Dhabi, having had way too much caffeine already, staring at the screen, just unable to make it happen. And I'm like, oh, come on, day one. You got to be able to do day one. And it was very difficult. But I gave it a shot as often as I could, and I just failed at it. So I'm going to go ahead and just repeat. Repeat.
It's not failure. I don't know what it is, but failure seems harsh given the circumstances. I was hoping to do some short story writing in there. And I did a fair amount of ideating. But again, I ended up having to go back to my revision.
Well, here's the other good news is that one of my kids will be here for a lot of January. And that kid also has some writing goals. And my husband is working on something and has some writing goals. And so we do this thing called Leahy Cafe, where we have snacks and we have candles and we have cafe type music. And we set up our dining room like a coffee house, and we all work together. So I have a promise from the kid that that there will be a lot of writing time happening in January, which sounds pretty great because it kills two birds with one stone. I'm spending more time with my kid and I'm writing, so it's good.
Yeah, it does sound fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get in here and set some goals for 2023. I've already picked my word.
Okay. Yay,
going well, for
we
can't
will
wait
do that.
To do that.
Yeah, I'm
no,
really excited
not this
to
episode.
That too.
That's coming up. So, has anybody read anything good lately? We could hit a few books before I sail out. All right, hang on a sec.
Yeehaw.
Hi, friends at the hashtag AmWriting podcast. This is Jenny Nash, CEO of Author Accelerator. And if you're thinking about becoming a book coach, if you've been hearing KJ talk about it, or you're hearing me this summer at the challenge we did, and you're thinking that sounds like a great side gig to support your writing, or if maybe you want a whole new career as a book coach, now's the time to sign up, because we're offering an amazing bonus for anyone who joins our book coach certification program by the end of the year. Check out the details at bookcoaches.com/writing.
All right, Serena, you stuck your hand up, so you get to go first. What have you been reading?
I just finished a thriller called Every Last Fear by Alex Finley. He also wrote another book that I mentioned the last time we recorded. And what I like about his thrillers is that you have a lot of empathy for the people involved, even if the stories become quite dark, even if terrible things happen in the book, he gives you somebody to root for. And the other thing I like about them, as I'm studying the thriller genre, is that, as you know, some suspense is domestic suspense, where it's just like a weird thing happens to a normal person. And some mm-hmm. of it is procedural, which is a cop solves a case. And this book is actually both of those things. And the domestic part is it follows this story and these brothers that you're rooting for. And then there's a female FBI agent who just doesn't read like same old, and she's really fun to follow and around too. So yeah, there's just a lot there and I enjoyed it very much.
You and I, Serena, were very much in the same place. Serena and I have talked a lot about our admiration for Harlan Coben's double climax at the end of his books. And so I went back into some Harlan Coben's that I had read before to dissect and analyze exactly how it works, like mapping it out, figuring out what the beats are, and man, he's good at it. And that's been really good because I think I actually have I have that going on in the book I'm working on. But then I have to also give huge props to, I have been listening to a bunch of Michael Connelly. A couple months back, I talked about the fact that I had gone back and re-listened to Lincoln Lawyer. And I think Michael Connelly did such a good job in that book. But Michael Connelly has a couple of different series. And one of them is with this woman that she's a fantastic character. She's complex. She works at night, or at least until this book, she's been working sort of the night shift at in the police force. And she teams up with Harry Bosch, who's part of a whole other series. But the newest book that just came out last month is called Desert Star. And I loved it. And it's another one with her teaming up with the Harry Bosch character. And again, I came at it because part of what I'm working on does have a tiny little bit of procedural, police procedural stuff in it. And so I was trying to figure out how you reveal information that you need to reveal without sounding like you're, downloading information. And it's been fascinating. I've been doing that over a bunch of different books. And like, who do you tell the information to? And how do you do it without it sounding like you're talking down to your reader? And huge thanks to both Harlan Coben and Michael Connelly, because they really are masters of their craft. They're really well done.
You know what that book is not called? Because I was writing it down as you said it. Desert Star. But I would read that.
I absolutely would read that.
I would absolutely read Desert Star. So someone can write the companion book to Desert Star. Desert Star. Probably be me. So I was on a long trip in December. I had a lot of plane reading time. I gobbled my way through a variety of witchy rom-coms and had a blast. The one I want to shout out today, though, is not a witchy rom-com, and yet it's a witchy rom-com. Like, it certainly fits cover-wise and everything into the same, like, you'd put it on the shelf next to The X-Hex and Witch Please and From Bad to Cursed. All the, it looks like that. You'd put my book next to those as well, but my book is also not a rom-com, so that kind of intrigues me in terms of what readers are expecting. So I read A Letter to Three Witches by Elizabeth Bass, and I think it could be best described as a caper. It's sort of this one person writes her three cousins a letter threatening to take one of their partners, and she, because witchiness, can sort of seduce just about anyone. That's not really the plot. But there's just this sort of whole question about, and then suddenly, I think what I gloried in this as a writer is it's at every turn, you can feel this writer, whose name is Elizabeth Bass, but who is also a very experienced writer of, this is her first book along these lines, but she's written many another thing. It's just like, okay, what would make this worse? I know, what if the person who could fix everything suddenly accidentally turns themselves into a rabbit? And at that point, I just cracked up, because every chapter you'd be like, oh, okay, they're gonna solve all, and then next thing you know, somebody's a rabbit. I don't know how to explain it other than that it was super fun, and if you're looking for a cozy read, it doesn't feel Halloween-y, even though it's witchy. It's just more like snuggly, small town, mystery, missing husband who's responsible for this, occasional narration by Kat, that kind of thing. It was really fun. So that was A Letter to Three Witches from Elizabeth Bass.
I love it when authors surprise us with things like turning into a rabbit or making the dog one of the narrators, that kind of thing. Anytime I get surprised these days, I'm like, yeah, good for you for giving that a shot. I like it.
Yeah, and I like reading things that are outside. I mean, I definitely work within the three-act structure, and you can see inciting incidents and midpoints and everything like that. But I do like noticing, provided that it doesn't mean that I've had to sail along with you for a really long time before anything happens. You know, I like it when things sort of happen out of order or are a little different. And even occasionally, when you're just kind of there for the whole book, and at the end you're like, there was no plot. Like, I won't buy that very often, but I've read a couple things lately where at the end I'm like, that was just the barely gentlest hint of the possibility of some form of stress for the character, but I didn't really mind because I didn't need any stress either. So that's, yeah, mostly that doesn't work, but occasionally I'm there for it.
Cool. Those sound fun.
All right. Well, that was 2022, kids. We're kicking that one to the curb. We're done with it.
Overall, yeah. Not a bad year.
No, I think it had some. Not a bad year. It had, yeah. Way to come through better than, granted, it had a very low bar to clear.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, so, but way to come through for us, 20. We should go back and listen to our early 22. Because I feel like at the beginning of 22, we were all sort of like, you know, puppies that had been kicked a few times, sitting there going, okay, 2022, please, just, can we just, maybe, okay.
It's taken us a while to get back on our feet, but I feel like the feet are underneath us again, which is good.
Yeah, here I'm knocking on wood.
Yeah. Okay, I am too. Right.
That
I
was promise. For everyone.
Yeah.
All okay. Right. Thanks, kids and kittens, if you want to talk to us, like I said, we're doing more in the comments. Jess still pops in and out of the Facebook group so often. I am going to be trying to cut myself off from all things like that. So, yeah. But I'm chatting in Substack in the chats around these posts. So if you're not signed up for our show notes, you absolutely should be. And you can do that at amwritingpodcast.com. It's free. It's always free. There's the opportunity to support us financially there too. And we love it if you do that, but you do not have to. We also had a huge month of glorious ride-alongs in November. And that was really fun. And I will be resuming those in January. So the only way to know when we're having a ride-along and sitting around on Zoom for 2 hours, watching each other keep our butts in the chair, is to join.
That's
the
so cool.
Show notes email.
And I have to say, you might also want to join because I had such good response to the nuts and bolts total dork fest, what I learned about video. I cannot believe the response I've had to that. And it actually inspired a couple of people to do video. And I want to recommend, highly recommend, you go over to Instagram and you check out Catherine Roy. It's at Catherine with a K, Catherine Roy Studio. She actually has a 5-minute video over there that she posted, and it is so cool, about they asked the people who actually produced her picture book to film the process of that picture book being put together from beginning to end. And she explains, it's like someone mentioned that it was a lot like on Mr. Rogers when he used to go and say, here's the process of what putting this thing together looks like. She's very soothing. She explains the color towers and how the pages go together and how the cover gets made. It's very, very cool. Anyway, my point is, I had such a good time making that very dorky, very inside baseball bonus episode of the video of the, sorry, of the podcast, that I'm going to do a couple more. I think about working with a speaking agency, the nuts and bolts of speaking engagements. And so go and sign up, because there are going to be some fun, very dorky bonus episodes coming up in the next couple of months.
Yay. We love that. Yeah,
we're
going to do some fun things, but the goal is not going to be do this specific list of things. It's going to be do fun things.
Yeah, and it's fun.
That, yeah.
All right.
Love that.
Okay, until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
And I like that Serena waved to the listeners, because that was nice.
Fellow writers, I've got exciting news from Author Accelerator. Applications for Author Accelerator's new 2-year scholarship program for Black, Indigenous, Latinx, or other people of color open this month. The Author Accelerator team developed this scholarship as a way to amplify diverse voices and perspectives that are under-recognized in the publishing world. The newly launched Author Accelerator Book Coach Certification Scholarship provides 1 year of professional mentorship and feedback for up to 3 students of color as they complete the Book Coach Certification Program, and 1 subsequent year of career coaching and mentorship as they launch their business. If you're interested in applying or want to learn more, the scholarship window opens November 15, 2022, and will close January 15, 2023. The program itself will kick off in March 2023. To learn more, visit bookcoaches.com/equity.